Hello, my friends. This is Paul Drockton, and welcome to True Religion Radio, where we get back to the original gospel of Jesus Christ, based on what the Bible teaches us and also what the early history of the church teaches us. So today we're going to talk about the original organization of Christ's church. This is critical, my friends. I mean, Jesus Christ was perfect. So don't you think the organization that he put together is the way it should be? I mean, if we deviate from the organization he established, then we have to basically confess that we're not using the same organization. We're not the same organization that he had. So he explained that, or should I say, the first thing that Jesus Christ did is he selected 12 apostles. These 12 apostles were given the power from him to cast out devils, to heal the sick, preach the gospel, right? And to baptize. And basically, they were given the power to administer in his name, to literally act as his representative. And the best way we can describe these apostles is generals in the Lord's army. They were his generals, right? Now, he commissioned them to go forth and build up his church. That's what they were commissioned to do. And basically, if you take a look at the book of Acts, you can see that's exactly what they did. You can read about how Peter traveled to different cities and how he basically went to individuals like Cornelius, who was a Gentile, to teach him the gospel and baptize him. You can read how Paul basically traveled throughout Asia Minor, Greece, even the Middle East, and taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can read how the apostles, other apostles did. And so their primary directive was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the organized churches in the different areas, which they did. Now, underneath these apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ chose 70 of his disciples as forerunners, we'll call it. These would be like the captains in the Lord's army, and they're mission was to go forth and prepare the way for others to learn the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were given authority over devils and heal the sick, cause the blind to see, right? And you can read about that in Luke. And basically that these 70s, we'll call them forerunners, were sent forth to prepare the way. First for Christ's visit and then for the apostles' visit. Now, following the day of Pentecost, the apostles were given the power and authority to give the Holy Ghost. And you can read how people were baptized and received the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. Baptized by immersion in water, and then they received the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. And this isn't something that happened automatically. If you read in Acts, Peter came to Samaria after Philip had baptized and proceeded to give those that were newly baptized the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. Simon the sorcerer was watching, and he said to Peter, "Here's money. Give me the power that you have to give people the Holy Ghost." Peter, of course, was shocked and said, your money perish with you because you think that the gift of God can be bought. And long story short, the seven sons of Sceva, went in and they tried to exorcise a demon from a guy using the name of Paul and the name of Christ. And they said, demon said, "Christ I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" And they proceeded to thrash him and beat him up. And they were bruised and they were beaten badly. And they ran from the house. They fled because they didn't have the authority to act in Jesus Christ's name. The apostles did. The 70 did. And they were also permitted to ordain others. Now, the next development we see following the day of Pentecost is we see that the church held all things common, meaning that the members basically gave what they had. First, it was Peter, and then the individual church would then distribute those resources according to individuals' needs. And you can read about that in the book of Acts. So they had all things common. Now, this created the need for the office of a bishop. Peter said, "It's not meet that we should wait on tables." And he called Stephen, right? And Stephen basically presided over the temporal affairs of that particular congregation. Now understand that the 12 apostles, they were not given the directive to manage the monies of the churches. No, that was the local congregation. And if you want to read about the office of a bishop, read the book of Titus or Timothy in the Bible. And it talks about how a bishop should be the wife of one man, shouldn't be a striker, shouldn't be a brawler, should be held in high regard by the local community, right? Should be of good report, good reputation. And the bishop was charged with watching over the spiritual and the temporal affairs of that local congregation. There was no other higher authority as far as the management of the congregation. And in the end, if you read the letters of Paul, it's basically teaching them how to do it right, how to basically run a congregation. Now, the congregation would vote to support their bishop. They would present names for individuals they decided they wanted to be their bishop. It was a democracy. And they voted. And those individuals that became bishops could be removed by that same congregation. They didn't have to go to a higher power. They said, we don't want you anymore. And they fired them. And that was that. And you also need to understand that the bishops who managed these temporal resources were permitted to take for their own needs, but they were commanded to not waste these resources on things that didn't matter. In other words, they weren't supposed to use these resources to buy more expensive houses than their congregation or to buy expensive chariots to pull them around or expensive horses, right? These were sacred. And ideally, they were used to lift the entire congregation, not just the bishop. Remember, Savior taught, freely you have been given, freely you must give. And remember that the apostles traveled out per script, the same with the 70s. And they relied on the hospitality of the locals where they were teaching for food, for shelter, or, as Paul said, they labored with their own hands, just depending on the situation. So the key here is that these local bishops, they weren't in it for the money. They were in it to serve the Lord and to serve their fellow men. This is another sign of the true Church of Christ, is there was no paid clergy. It didn't exist. So the scriptures also talk about how these signs shall follow them that believe. So if you're going to participate in a true congregation of Jesus Christ, then you're going to have the authority to act in his name, as long as you are authorized by him to do so, or by his representative, right? And in the end, you will have power to cast out devils, to heal the sick, cause the blind to see, cause the lame to walk. If these miracles aren't there, then you're not in the right place, my friends, because these are the signs of the true church, a true church, right? Now, last but not least, the purpose of the congregation, according to Paul, right, is to help every individual progress in learning about the doctrine of Christ. What does that mean? It means scriptures. It means you read scriptures as a congregation, you teach scriptures as a congregation, and you basically do everything you can so every member of your congregation knows the scriptures. And that's how you gain power over evil, over the adversary. You're also commanded to not fellowship with individuals that oppose the doctrines of Christ. You're supposed to stay away from individuals that refuse to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ, to not fellowship with them. In other words, if someone's in the church and they choose to be an alcoholic, well, then that individual is no longer in good fellowship. Can they attend your meeting? Sure. They're just not permitted to vote, right, on important matters, and there's other things too. Anyway, this is the beginning of this discussion. I'm going to talk more about this. So this was the original organization of the Church of Jesus Christ, and I can say this with full authority that if you want the true Church of Jesus Christ, then you better follow the same pattern he did. This is Paul Drochten. God bless. Have a great day.